ladies and gentlemen. Hope you are all doing well on just a few days till Christmas. Welcome to episode number 39 of Second City Sam's Hot Takes. I am your host, Sam Piopo, Second City Sam, bringing you another Hot Takes episode. And boy, we got some stuff to talk about today. It's going to be quite a bit of baseball as quite a bit of news came out last night. I got a lot to say about that, including the two home teams that live and that do that play baseball in this city, and the Cubs and Sox still working things out with their roster, let's say. So we're going to talk a little bit about that. We're going to talk some football as the NFL season comes to a close in just a few weeks. The Bears suffered a devastating loss last week against the Cleveland Browns. We're going to talk a little bit about that. Talk about what's ahead for they play the Cardinals this weekend. We're going to talk that. If anyone would like to join, shoot me a message. You could join, say a few things. You could also post comments on the actual Facebook page for Second City Sam's Hot Takes. Your comments will come across my screen, or the YouTube channel. Your comments will come across there, and I will answer them as I go as well. So welcome in. We're going to talk some, we're going to talk some Blackhawks. We're going to talk a little bit about professional wrestling as well towards the end. And yeah, let's get her going. We're going to kick it off with the obvious news. It's not going to be a long episode today, I don't think. Obviously, things can change with some of the rants that I go through here. But we're going to start off with the news that happened overnight. The Dodgers have acquired Japanese star Yoshinobu Yamamoto. A 12-year, $325 million contract. Now, is anyone really surprised? The Dodgers, I'm going to get a lot of flack for this one. The Dodgers are ruining baseball. And honestly, it's through no fault of their own. They have the money. They're willing to spend it. They're spending it in droves, obviously, with the signing of Shohei Ohtani, the signing of, well, they traded for him first. They traded for Tyler Glasnow. Then they signed and extended him as well. And then just last night with the signing of Yoshinobu Yamamoto, the Dodgers are spending big money. And they're ruining baseball, but honestly, like I said, it's through no fault of their own. I think might receive a lot of flack for this one too. I think baseball needs a salary cap. Because at this point, it's not even fair. Let's be honest with ourselves. The Dodgers are going to win 125 games. They're going to cruise probably to the NLCS. As things start to play on my Facebook page here. My apologies. They're going to cruise to the NLCS. And probably win a few World Series in there.
NLCS.
Now, me personally, I hope they fall flat on their ass. But let's be realistic. They're going to be good. They're going to be a powerhouse. They're building a super team. And super teams, in my opinion, are never good. Not good for the sport. Take a look at the NBA. They started it with the Miami Heat when LeBron, Chris Bosh, and Dwayne Wade started the original super team. They won a title. But it wasn't good. I mean, the competition just wasn't really there. And it's going to be the same thing in baseball. Obviously, baseball is a little different. You play a longer season. You play a hot team in the playoffs. Anybody can win. Excuse me. But I don't like it. I think baseball is the last big sport that does not have a salary cap. I think it's time to get with the program here. I mean, it's those who disagree, they're going to say, "Oh, Sam, all the owners of every MLB team is a billionaire. They can afford to build a super team." That's not exactly how it works. In a small market, they don't necessarily have the means or the ability or the, what's the word? The flash or the history or, you know, that attracts these big name players. You're telling me if it came down to the Dodgers and the Pittsburgh Pirates, that the Pirates would really stand a chance? The Pirates could have offered, they could have offered Yoshinobu Yamamoto $600 million. Maybe I'm exaggerating. Say $400. And I feel like he's still going to pick the Dodgers. But with a salary cap, you know, even with all the deferrals in Shohei Ohtani's contract, at least there's a salary cap to stop the Dodgers from building this ridiculous team. Let's just take a look at the numbers so far for the Dodgers. In just the last few weeks, they've spent $700 million on Shohei Ohtani. Just last night, $325 million on Yoshinobu Yamamoto. And just a week ago, $136.5 million on Tyler Glasnow. So you're looking at, and just beside, not even looking at Tyler Glasnow, Bobby on Facebook checking in. Bobby says, fuck the Dodgers. Yeah, I agree, Bobby. I definitely agree with that. If anybody wants to comment as well on here, go through my Second City Sam Hot Takes page, also the YouTube channel. Your comments will appear on my screen. I'll be able to show them to the world. but let's get back to it. The Dodgers have spent on just Yamamoto and Shohei Ohtani $1.25 billion. And that's just within a few weeks. Tell me how that should be allowed. Obviously, Dodgers fans are on cloud nine right now, and they're gonna give you every single reason possible to make this make sense. But it doesn't. It doesn't. And now, well, why not? Let's go get Cody Bellinger if you're a Dodgers fans. If you're a Dodgers fan. Who else is out there? Go get, I don't know, go get Rhys Hoskins if you're spending all this money. Go make a trade for Pete Alonso. What's the deal? I mean, they're spending all this money. There's no salary cap. Why stop there? What's making them stop? They're going to build this super team. I hope they fall flat on their ass. I really do. Shohei Ohtani won't pitch this season, but he will be hitting. Yamamoto obviously will be there. You got Mookie Betts. You got Freddie Freeman. Let's what else we got? We got Glasnow, Bueller. I mean, it's just ridiculous. But hey, Dodgers fans are happy. So where do you go if you're a local team? Where do you go if you're the Chicago Cubs? Where do you go if you're the Chicago White Sox? Great question. Because the Cubs have spent a total of $0 this offseason after signing Craig Counsell and firing David Ross. All the Cubs fans thought, with this big signing of Craig Counsell, that the Cubs are going to be all in on free agency. Holy crap, were we wrong. It doesn't even look like they're trying. Is Jed Hoyer asleep? Is he just waiting too long to feel out the, you know, the free agents? We used to hear that the Cubs were going to make a trade for Tyler Glasnow, who obviously went to the Dodgers, so that's not happening. It doesn't look like they're the favorites for Cody Bellinger anymore. That looks like it's the Blue Jays. But who knows? According to a few sources, Scott Boras the agent of Cody Bellinger could take the Sting all the way to February. I mean, what's really left? Lucas Giolito? You still got Tim Anderson out there. Maybe the White Sox will bring him in. Maybe the Cubs will bring him in, huh? It's a joke right now. The Cubs and the Sox, I mean, we know the Sox don't spend. But for such a high market, it's not fair to the fans. It really isn't. The Cubs have no business not spending. The White Sox have no business not spending. Now everyone's going to go shit on the Dodgers, including myself, while if the Cubs were spending all this money, we probably wouldn't be batting an eye, would we? We'd probably be on cloud nine like Dodgers fans are. Or, for those that love the sport of baseball, can be happy about these signings if you're a fan of the Dodgers. But you could also realize that it's not entirely fair. That it's kind of ruining the game. And that a salary cap should definitely be in place. I mean, honestly, the Cubs are going to go into the season with the same roster as last year. Only this time, it's going to be without Cody Bellinger. As my animals are going absolutely nuts upstairs. Little bastards. So how do you look at yourself if you're Jed Hoyer? How do you look at your team and say, this is good enough? You missed the playoffs by a game or two last season. Now you're minus Cody Bellinger and Marcus Stroman because you're unlikely to bring him back. Just take a look at the... I got this list right here from... let's see who posted it. At Clark Met Addison. On X. Cubs opening day lineup and rotation as of today. Ian Happ, left field. Nico Horner, second base. Seiya Suzuki, right field. Christopher Morel, designated hitter. Dansby Swanson, shortstop. Yan Gomes, center. Wow, I'm thinking hockey. Catcher. Matt Mervis, first base. Nick Madrigal, third base. And Pete Crow Armstrong at center. Now, with Mervis and Pete Crow Armstrong, you can't expect them to tear it up. They're kids. PCA will come into his first full season if you know, the Cubs don't sign a free agent to play center or first. Matt Mervis only played about a month last season before getting sent back down because he stunk. So that's an ugly lineup. Especially if Ian Happ doesn't have a great season again. If Dansby Swanson wants to strike out like nobody's business again. Nick Madrigal. Great utility player. Don't mind having him on the team at all. But he should not be your starting third baseman. Definitely not. Let's look at the rotation. You got Justin Steele. Cool. You got Jameson Taillon. He needs a rebound season. I think he'll have one. You got Kyle Hendricks, who's getting older. You got Javier Assad, who would probably be your fourth starter. And number five, you have Jordan Wicks. And at the end of this tweet, X post, he writes, 69 wins. Hard to disagree. I mean, that's not a winning ball club. If you're Jed Hoyer, something has to be done. Something. You got to sign. You got to make, you know, you got to make a pitching splash. I mean, there's not a whole lot out there anymore. Stroman, Giolito, make a trade for Dylan Cease. I don't know. Love to have Dylan Cease back on the north side. make a trade for Rhys Hoskins. Make a trade for Pete Alonso. Not a trade for Rhys Hoskins. He is a free agent. But the Cubs have to do something. Something has to be done. Moving over to the south side, it's going to be ugly over there. I mean, who do you really have to look forward to there? Tim Anderson's gone. You're thinking about trading Dylan Cease, although it would take, according to John Heyman, who was on 670 The Score, it would take, quote, a haul for Dylan Cease. Said four of the team's top 10 prospects is definitely in play. That is blasphemy. Oh, and highlighted teams that may be interested, the Orioles, the Reds, and the Dodgers. So there you go. What's stopping the Dodgers? What's stopping them? Nothing. Nobody. But I mean, that's for real. The White Sox, I don't know if they're going into a rebuild. I don't know what the expectation is, because you're really just going into the season with a run it back mentality, and that's without possibly Dylan Cease. That's without Giolito. Obviously, he's not going to come back. Who's going to pitch? At this point, if you trade Dylan Cease, you may as well just call it a rebuild. I mean, your best hitter, who's their best hitter at this point? It's going to be, I think it's going to be an ugly season on the south side. And possibly the north side. Who am I kidding? According to the GM, everybody was on the table to be traded. So how can you not call that a rebuild? At this point for the White Sox, I don't know if they make any big moves. As a matter of fact, it's probably totally unlikely that they make big moves. They still have questions, you know, obviously Cease. He's still got questions with Michael Kopech heading into year, what, four, five now? He hasn't shown to be much of anything besides a four or five starter, which, you know, it's not a bad thing to have, but, you know, the trade with, I believe, Boston, you expected to get a possible ace out of Michael Kopech. You have two, what is this? I can never pronounce this guy's name. Tuki Toussaint. He was okay last year, but it's gonna be ugly for both sides of town, I think. Unless something changes. So where do we go from here? Let me just put this up for you. Bam! Ticker. looking into the season, I don't think either team is necessarily looking to win at this point. But just for fun, let's take a look at the free agent spending this winter by each team. The Dodgers, as of last night, spent $1.25 billion. The Phillies, $172 million. The Diamondbacks, $122 million. The Giants, $113 million. The Royals, $105 million. The Cardinals, $99. The Reds, $87. The Tigers, $42.75 million. The Braves, $30 million. The Rangers, $26.5 million. Mets, $18 million. Even the White Sox have spent $16.75 million. Orioles, $13 million. Astros, $12 million. Brewers, $10.25 million. Angels, $6.8 million. Guardians, $4.75 million. Nationals, $4.25 million. Pirates, $3.2 million. A's, $1.5 million. Rays, $1.1 million. Red Sox, $1 million. And there are currently 8 teams who have spent zero. The big goose egg. And those teams are, what do we got going on here? We got a, those teams are Blue Jays, Cubs, Mariners, Marlins, Padres, Rockies, Twins, and Yankees. So there you go. Got a comment here from Kevin Hett. Pizza, pizza. Well done, sir. Well done. I don't know how to explain it anymore. I don't know what Jed Hoyer's plan is. I don't know what the White Sox plan is. It's sad times. And Cubs fans say not to panic. You know, it's still early. If it's early, it's getting late. Real quick. So it's time to put up or shut up. Let's move on. Because baseball has me a little angry. Got a new segment later on in the show, by the way. Not going to tell you the name of it yet. It's a surprise. But the title might give you a hint. By the way, for those just joining us, listening to Second City Sam's Hot Takes, episode number 39. Give me a follow on X, not Twitter, X, at Second City Sam. Also Instagram, Snapchat, YouTube. It's all the same, baby. Subscribe on YouTube. Subscribe on Spotify. I will be posting the show after editing it a little later today for those who didn't catch the full show. By the way, shout out to Nicole. We stinks. Shout out to Nicole for the merch. As always, I don't know. I think this might just become my official podcast attire. Nicole has a lot of cool clothes that she does. She did this for me, a customized, just because I asked her for it. But check out Puddles and Pauly Apparel on Facebook. Give it a like. Check out some of the stuff she does there. Cool stuff. Cool merch. Check it out. We're moving on, though. Let's talk some football. The Chicago Bears. Da Bears. They lost, surprise, surprise, last week after playing a damn pretty good game, 20-17 against the Cleveland Browns. What do you want me to say here? They blew a lead. Justin Fields wasn't particularly great. 19 of 40, 166 yards, one touchdown, two interceptions. The second interception was the last play on a Hail Mary, so you can't really do nothing about that. But all, in all reality, the Bears, once again, as I tap my mic accidentally, the Bears won the turnover battle, and they somehow lose the game. I think that's got to be the third time this season that that has happened, and that's hard to do. Usually when you win the turnover battle, you win the game. Cole Kmet had a touchdown catch. Tremaine Edmonds had one of the picks, returned it for a 45-yard touchdown. I mean, what are you going to say? Total yards, obviously, if you take a look at that, the Bears were in the negatives for 377 to 236. They outran the Browns, so that's good, I guess. It's just a matter of this team not being able to finish games at this point. And some of the way they some of the ways that they lose these games are just wow. Like it's amazing. Justin Fields during the game threw a beautiful ball to Robert Tonyan, a bomb towards Robert Tonyan went right through his hands. It was a sure six too. It's just the stuff that can't happen. Even the Hail Mary at the end of the game, it landed in Darnell Mooney's lap after a deflection. And somehow, some way, it winds up, it turns into an interception. The Bears find ways to lose, even when they play well. Obviously, the questions still remain with Justin Fields. What's going to happen? What's going to happen after the season? Bears currently own the number one pick from the Carolina Panthers because they are awful, although they just won a game last week or the week before. As my cat is making a ton of noise over there. Don't get animals. They're great, but if you're trying to concentrate on something, it's not a good thing to have. What was I just saying? Oh, yeah, Justin Fields. At this point, what do you do if you're Ryan Poles? Because the options right now, to me, point in favor of trading Justin Fields and drafting that punk out of USC, Caleb Williams. But then, who knows? Justin Fields will come out this Sunday, you know, throw for 350 yards, four touchdown passes, and change the question, or change the answer, I should say. Justin Fields doesn't seem to be too worried. He's saying that he gives his all, and that's pretty much all he can control. He did say that he loves it here. He loves the fans. He loves the city, Chicago. He loves everything about it. His time here has been great. It's been amazing, quotes Justin Fields. But here's the deal. The Bears are damned if they do and damned if they don't. They really are. I was listening to a take that Colin Cowherd had just the other day, and I'm going to play it in the mic. I don't know if it'll work. I'm still messing around with this StreamYard stuff. I don't have the video up currently, but actually I could try to pull it up. But there's a point that Justin Fields that Colin makes that really makes you think. And I'm going to pull it up for you here for those that are listening. I honestly don't know. I would hate to be Ryan Poles in this situation. I really do. I think it's such a hard decision. I think you're damned if you do and you're damned if you don't. Because what happens if you draft Caleb Williams and he becomes a Zach Wilson, and Justin Fields goes on to, you know, Pittsburgh or wherever, the Raiders, and he becomes a stud? Here it is. Here's the video.
In year three.
Let me just pull it up and start it over here. So take a listen to this.
61. From 2-8 to 3-12.
Start it over. And here we go. Play, damn it.
He has improved. He tells no lies. In year one, he completed 59% of his throws. In year two, he completed 60. In year three, 61. from 2-8 to 3-12 to 3-7. His touchdown to interception ratio is better, so is his passer rating. But this year it's 85-6, last year it was 85-2. He has slightly improved. But Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen, Jalen Hurts exploded as they grew. They were tech stocks. This is like a 401k. We keep getting promised, hey, just wait. Someday you'll be rich. People don't have time to wait. Every quarterback who's special in this league showed us something by year three. Mahomes, Lamar, Burrow, Herbert, Allen, Dak, Russell Wilson, Trevor Lawrence, every one of them. The returns on the investment to this point aren't there. And the improvement's gradual. And people can say, well, the organization has poor ownership and the wrong coach. Kyler Murray says, hold my beer. First 3 years, he'd been a Pro Bowler twice. Year three led him to the playoffs. Arizona's arguably the worst run team in the league. Matt Stafford was hurt in year two. Year three in the NFL, he led the beleaguered Lions to the playoffs. Both Kyler Murray and Matt Stafford are the word I use often, overcomers. Well, Colin, there's been injuries. Same with Tua. Year three, he led the NFL in passer rating. Bad coach, bad owner, bad culture, some injuries, bad O-line. Joe Burrow had the lowest rated offensive line and got his team to the Super Bowl. Justin Herbert, as a rookie, had the lowest rated offensive line, 32nd in the NFL, and set rookie passing records. The O-line for the Bears just isn't that bad. Their tackles are pretty good. They've got a number one receiver and a number one tight end. Their defense in the last 6 weeks is really good, really solid. Backs are okay. Even have a number two running back. Don't have to love the coach, but did you love Cliff Kingsbury?
So there you go. That's Colin Coward's take on Justin Fields. And hard to disagree, man. The stats are the stats. I know as Bears fans, we see a lot more than Colin does, and we see the detail and everything. But, I mean, let's be honest with ourselves here. Has the progression of Justin Fields been good enough to say, hey, this is our guy for the future. This is a guy that's going to get us to the promised land. I don't know. Luckily, that's not for me to decide. But there's a fair point that you could make is that Justin Fields would need to be paid sooner than if you drafted Caleb Williams. You pay Justin Fields whatever amount of money that maybe he's earned, maybe he hasn't, but you draft Caleb Williams and then you get 4 years at least of paying him on a rookie contract. Obviously, you get the 50-year option as well if you choose to use it. So I've heard that argument used. But as my good buddy Josh Lopez likes to say, Bears fans aren't qualified. Bears fans aren't qualified to speak on what a good quarterback is. We don't know. We haven't seen it. We haven't had it. So who am I to say? I can have an opinion, and I do have an opinion. I think Justin Fields is good enough to win playoff games and get to a Super Bowl with a team around him. I don't think Justin Fields is in the top tiers of quarterbacks in this league. I don't. At least not yet. And maybe his progression will take him there. I don't know. That's not, again, I can't handle his progression. We're just fans. We sit here, we bitch about it, we talk about it, and, you know, we're there for every game no matter what. got a couple comments here. David Garcia says Dodgers are taking it next year. Yeah, you're probably right, dude. You're probably right. I'm not going to argue against it, but I hope they don't. Also, that's right, Josh. We stinks, buddy. We stinks. Get your merch. Well, he stinks. That's Chicago, baby. But yeah, Bears fans aren't qualified to talk or to even guess on what a good quarterback is. We haven't seen it. Who knows if we'll ever have it? This team has a funny way of making a possible good player less than what he should be. Justin Fields isn't a top 10 quarterback, in my opinion. But I'm still of the opinion that you don't need a top 10 quarterback to get to the Super Bowl. And again, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe that's too old style of me. Maybe you do need that top tier quarterback to get to the Super Bowl. The last few years, we've seen only top tier quarterbacks in the Super Bowl. But then you look back just a few years to Jared Goff. Jared Goff, arguably, I mean, he's having a really good year the last couple of years. You could argue that he is in the top tier, but I don't think your argument would be good. I don't think he is the top tier. Jared Goff, he didn't win the Super Bowl, but he got to the Super Bowl. So my opinion is you don't need a top tier quarterback to get to the Super Bowl. You just need a good game manager to get to the Super Bowl. A guy who's not going to make mistakes, a guy who's not going to turn the ball over, a guy who's going to make the passes that he needs to make. A guy and Justin Fields, I think, is better than that. I think he's better than a game manager. I just don't think he's a top 10 quarterback. Top 15, maybe. But I mean, look what he does for you. If he uses his legs, that's one side that's one weapon that he has. And then when he throws a ball nicely, it's better than nice. It's beautiful. The ball he threw to Cole Kmet the other day after scrambling in the pocket for about, felt like 10 seconds, and then he threw in the end zone to Cole Kmet, it was great. It was beautiful. The ball he threw to DJ Moore, what was it? Was it last week against the Lions, I think? Man, you couldn't have put the ball any better. When he throws it good, he throws it really good to where you can't drop. That ball to Robert Tonyan last week, there's no way that he should have dropped that ball. Right in his hands. Beautiful deep ball. Justin Fields has a really good deep ball. Probably one of the best, probably one of the top half in the league deep ball. So that's what I'm saying. Justin Fields isn't necessarily as, I shouldn't say bad, but as bad as a game manager. I think he's a little better than a game manager. But is he good enough? Will you decide to pay him the money needed to say that's my guy, that's your guy of the future? Or are you going to go draft Caleb Williams? Are you going to trade Justin Fields to a miserable Raiders or Steelers team and say, you know, thank you for everything, but, you know, go find success elsewhere? I wouldn't doubt for a minute that he would. Justin Fields with Mike Tomlin? Come on. I think that would be a good setup there. Depending on who they get for their open offensive coordinator job. Got a comment from Joshy. My boy. We wouldn't know a good quarterback or development if it slapped us in the mouth. You're right. And it's unfortunate that it is that way, too. We've, you know, Bears, one of the oldest franchises. They've been around forever, and their fans are some of the most loyal in the business. But of all that time, there's been no quarterback. Jay Cutler is our best quarterback. And it's not taking anything away from Jay. Jay was, you know, he was a character. But Jay wasn't very good. He had the ability to be very good. Jay Cutler, I'd argue, has one of the top five arms of all time. That dude could sling it. You leave a big old welt on you if you don't catch it with your hands. Jay Cutler had his moments. But in no way, shape, or form should he be a franchise that has been around for, I don't know how long they've been around, 105 years or something. There's no reason that he should be their best quarterback. You could argue Sid Luckman, but none of us even watched him play. So, Ryan Poles has his hands full. I'm glad I don't have to make that decision. I don't think I'll be angry one way or the other because I simply can't get angry at the Bears anymore. There's no reason to get angry at the Bears anymore. It's just, it's hazardous to your health if you're getting angry at the Bears. It's not worth it. It's just not. I take it with a grain of salt. I laugh. I spit out some rants sometimes. Sometimes they do get me a little angry, but not nearly as much as they used to. It's simply not worth it anymore. Got a comment here from Josh. Damn you, Ted Phillips. Got us in this Mark Trestman vortex he can't get out of. Oh, Ted Phillips. I'm so glad he's gone. Kevin Warren seems like an A-plus CEO or whatever the fuck his title is. President. But we don't have anybody on the football side of things that is really doing a good job. I mean, Ryan Poles is supposed to be your football guy. Why not? Why do the Bears never have a president of football operations? Why is that never a title? A lot of other organizations have it. The Bears, no. I don't know. At this point, Ted Phillips wasn't really a football guy, but they tried to use him as a football guy. He was so far up George McCaskey's ass that George actually listened to what he had to say about the football team. It's just dumb business right there. Dumb business, my friends. But Bears have a big decision coming, and like I said, they're damned if they do, damned if they don't. I don't. In my opinion, I think Justin should stay. I think he should pay him. But I don't necessarily think that that's going to happen. I think Caleb Williams is going to be the Chicago Bears' next quarterback. And I'm going to have to try to forgive him for painting fuck Notre Dame on his little fingernails there just a couple of years ago, like a little bitch. But if he becomes the Bears' quarterback, and if he ends this endless cesspool of quarterback incompetence, then I'll forgive him. I'll forgive him. But we don't know if that's going to happen yet. Looking ahead, the Bears take on the Arizona Cardinals this Sunday. They are currently a 4.5-point favorite, I believe. You got to play against Kyler Murray. He's not an easy quarterback to play against. Just like Justin Fields, he likes to escape the pocket. He likes to run. The Cardinals are a bad football team besides Kyler Murray. Let's call a spade here. So the Bears should have won last week too, but they should be able to handle the Arizona Cardinals. We'll take a look at the injury report here. I'm going to pull it up. I don't know how healthy exactly the Bears are. Here it is right here. Let me pull it up for you. If my phone will load. Looking at the Bears injury report as of yesterday, I believe. No, this is today. No. Yeah, it's yesterday. As of yesterday, Dante Foreman was a non-participant in practice for personal reasons. Tevin Jenkins did not participate because of a concussion. I don't know if he's going to be cleared in time, so that could be trouble. Tevin Jenkins has been arguably our best offensive lineman all season. Let's see. Jalen Jones is limited with a calf. Cole Kmet, quadricep, limited. Mercedes Lewis did not participate. Darnell Mooney is a full participant.
Equanimeous St. Brown and Noah Sewell did not participate. They'll likely be out. DeMarcus Walker was a full participant, and he'll likely play. Looking on the other side, the Cardinals injury report, Marquise Brown did not participate. Greg Dortch did not participate. Antonio Hamilton did not participate. And as of now, it's not looking too great for them. Obviously, there's practice today, so we don't know exactly if they're going to play or not. So there you have it. Let's take a look at the NFL schedule for this week. And I'm going to give you my picks for this upcoming week. Again, if you want to comment your picks, you disagree with some of mine, shoot me a comment on the Second City Sam Facebook page or the Second City Sam YouTube page, and I will read it aloud and show your comment on the screen, and we can have a good old-fashioned debate. Let's see, there's actually some Saturday football I forgot about tomorrow. Actually, let's start with a Thursday night game. Yesterday, the Rams defeated the Saints 30-22. I called that one correctly. And then tomorrow, there's two games. We got the Bengals at the Steelers. Only pick I got from Josh. He says, the only pick I got is that Mike Lombardi is a clown. Is he your clown of the week, though? I didn't get a chance to listen to your show yet. I'm going to be interested to see who the clown of the week is this week. For those of you listening to the show as well, if you're looking for a top-notch wrestling podcast, it's not even just a wrestling podcast. Josh likes to talk about everything from mental health to wrestling to sports. Give it a listen. The Hoots Podcast. It's a great podcast. It's the number one podcast in the world. And he says, I'm going to love What the Hell is Wrong with AEW this week. I'm sure I will, Josh. I caught a little bit of Dynamite on the other day, so I'm curious to see what you got for us this week. Also, not only is he the best podcast in the world, but he is also the best segment in the world with What the Hell is Wrong with AEW. You may think it's just an AEW hate segment. It's not. Josh also comments on the stuff that he actually enjoyed throughout the week of AEW programming. It just so happens that there happens to be a lot of bullshit on each episode of AEW programming. So give the Hoots Podcast a listen. I will greatly appreciate it. Josh will greatly appreciate it. And let's get to these picks, shall we? Join me if you'd like. Bengals Steelers tomorrow. I got the Bengals winning this game. The Steelers seem to be in a free fall. Josh Browning has been pretty good, believe it or not, in relief for Joe Burrow, who's out for the season. I got the Bengals winning this game. Bills versus Chargers. You want to talk about a downfall. Holy hell. I went from thinking that the Chargers were going to be a playoff team this year to, holy shit, they just fired their coach and GM. I got the Bills winning this game. I know. Usually there's like a boost of energy after your coach gets fired from the team, but I don't see it. There's no reason they should be this bad with the defensive names that they have. But they gave up 63 points to the Raiders, man. They're bad. I feel bad for Khalil Mack. I really do. I got the Bills winning this game. Bills seem to be on the up and up. So that might be another blowout. Commanders, Jets. Oh boy. You want to talk about head coaches on the hot seat. Ron Rivera is his seat is burning right now. His ass is on fire. I love Ron Rivera. I shouldn't say that. If he got fired, I would love a return to the Bears for defensive coordinator. Oh, would that be good? I actually got the Commanders winning this game as an underdog to the Jets. Lions Vikings. I got the Lions winning this game rather easily. The Vikings, their quarterback situation seems to be a little messy right now with Kirk Cousins being out for the year. I'm going with the Lions to win that game rather easily. Browns Texans. on Christmas Eve. By the way, all these games this Sunday are on Christmas Eve, so that's pretty cool. Browns, Texans. I don't know if CJ Stroud is playing. So as of now, I may change his pick because I'm in a few pick'em pools. I may change his pick, but obviously I can't change it for this show. As of now, I'm going with the Browns to win this game. Their defense is volatile. And Joe Flacco, he had a rough game against the Bears, but he still led them to a comeback. So Joe Flacco's been playing pretty well for the Browns since Deshaun Watson's been out for the season. That's a weird common thread going on right now. All these quarterbacks out for the season, it's been a rough year for the quarterback, that's for sure. Packers, Panthers. I've never said this before, but I want the Packers to win. We need the Panthers to keep losing. They won a game, I believe, last week, and that needs to stop. So I'm going with the Packers to win against the Panthers this week. Seahawks, Titans. The Titans are an interesting bunch. Will Levis seems to be a pretty good rookie at quarterback. Throws a pretty ball. But it hasn't exactly been consistent for the Titans. So I'm going with the Seahawks to get off the schneid. I believe they lost a couple in a row here. No. Did they? Let's see. No, they just beat the Eagles. That's right. They beat the Eagles to get off the schneid. I think they keep it rolling against the Titans this week. As I exited out of my NFL schedule. There we go. Colts, Falcons. The Falcons stink. They don't use Bijan Robinson nearly enough. The Colts, even without their rookie quarterback Anthony Richardson, have been staying afloat in the playoff race with, what the hell's that guy's name? Oh, my goodness, I'm drawing a blank. That freaking nut job. He's a hillbilly. Somebody tell me his name. Anyway, I got the Colts winning that game. I got to find this guy's name. I'm losing it. Whatever. Colts win the game against the Falcons. I think the Falcons continue to struggle. I think Arthur Smith's seat might be hot as well. Jaguars, Buccaneers. The Jaguars have been on and off this year again. I thought they'd be pretty consistent this year. The Bucs are hanging around. They may win the NFC South, which is pitiful because that division stinks as much as any division I've ever seen. Usually it's the NFC East that stinks, but this year it is the NFC South that is just god-awful. The fact that the Buccaneers have a chance to host a playoff game at home is just stupid. That has to change. Jaguars win the game, I think, though. I think Trevor Lawrence gets back on track. Look for Travis Etienne to get a few touchdowns here. I think the Jaguars finish that one in Tampa Bay. Cowboys, Dolphins, possibly the game of the week. I'm excited to watch this one. Cowboys, I can't seem to figure out. When they're good, they're almost unbeatable. But when they're bad, man, they stink. I'm going with the Dolphins in a close one. This is one of the rare situations where I feel like offense is going to win this game. And usually it's, you know, defense wins championships, whatever, whatever. But in this case, I think the Dolphins offense is too good. I know their defense has struggled a little bit. But I think the Dolphins offense is too good. They're at home. I think as long as Tyreek Hill plays, which I believe he is, I think the Dolphins are going to win this game. In a close one, though. Should be a shootout. Should be fun. Cardinals-Bears. I have the Bears winning this game. I think this could be a chance for Justin Fields to really shine this week. I don't know. I mean, the Cardinals don't have a good defense, but with Kyler Murray back at quarterback for them, I think it'll be a close game. So look for the Bears to win in a close one. Hopefully Justin Fields shines and makes that question just a little more hard for Ryan Poles going into the offseason. Sunday night. We have three Monday night football games this week. Wowee. Sunday night, we have the Patriots and Broncos. Broncos started off horribly. Everyone was laughing at Sean Payton's face. And he came back and gave them the bird. Fuck you, he said. And he came in and he's made this team a competitor. They're kind of in a playoff race. I don't know if they'll get in, but this week will help them because they're playing a lousy Patriots team. Bill Belichick on the hot seat. Who would have thought we'd ever say that? I think the Broncos win this game rather easily against the Patriots at home. Monday Night Football, Raiders-Chiefs. Raiders coming off a big performance against the Chargers. But this week they're playing Patty Mahomes. Patrick Mahomes seems to have a chip on his shoulder after just a few weeks ago the referees being making the right call. I mean, I'll just say it. They made the right call. I got the Chiefs winning this game. I think the Raiders come back down to earth and the Chiefs go on to win. That's right. Monday Night Football, there's three games because it's Christmas. What an idiot I am. That's right. Three football games on Christmas. That's sweet. Giants-Eagles, an NFC East matchup in Philadelphia. I got the Eagles winning this game. I don't think they're as good as their record is. You can say what you want. I don't think their record is as good as it is. I think they're good enough to beat the Giants and Tommy DeVito. That's for sure. So Eagles win at home against the Giants. And lastly, another possible game of the week. We have the Ravens against the 49ers. 49ers at home. When I was making my pool picks, this was the hardest one I had to make. I think I'm going to stick with my original pick here. I'm going with the home team, which is the 49ers. And that is literally my only explanation on this pick. So there you go. If you agree or disagree on some of these picks, let me know. Oh, as I do a quick stretch there, I wish I had my water, man. This stinks. Matter of fact, I'm going to take a quick 30-second time out here. And I'm going to go grab some water because your boy is thirsty for some water. If I can figure out this nonsense, I'll put on a 30-second time out clip. And I will be right back. Ladies and gentlemen, I just found out how fast I can run. As we are back here on Second City Sam's Hot Takes. Got my water. Take a quick swig real quick. Got them hot pipes, ladies and germs. All right. So looking ahead here, I want to talk a little bit. We're keeping football here. We're going to talk a little bit about the college football playoff. I don't know if I'll get a show in before New Year's. So I want to give my predictions now for the games that are coming up. Also, we got a few bowl games coming up here this weekend. As we've already had a few bowl games just last weekend. So let's get, as I catch my breath here, let's get into it. Tomorrow, actually. We got a few bowl games. Before we get to the big bowl games, we'll talk about some of the other bowl games. UCF Georgia Tech is today. I got UCF winning that game. Arkansas State versus Northern Illinois is tomorrow in the Camellia Bowl. Man, some of these names for these bowl games are just, where do they come up with it? I'm just going to pick Northern Illinois because they're a home team. Troy at Duke. I got Duke winning that game. Tomorrow, Georgia State, Utah State. I have no idea. I'll go with Georgia State. JMU versus Air Force tomorrow. I got James Madison winning that game. Air Force was pretty good this year, but they came back down to earth late in the season. Utah versus Northwestern is tomorrow. That should be a fun game. Northwestern played their ass off all year. I'm happy that they wound up having the year that they had after a 1-11 season and the coach controversy with Pat Fitzgerald. They've really come a long way. I don't think they're going to win the bowl game. I think Utah wins. But I would love to be upset about it. I would love to be wrong about it, I should say. All right, that's enough of the bowl games for now. Let's look ahead here to, well, yeah, let's do all these predictions here for the bigger, for the more relevant bowl games before I get to the big ones here. Continuing on with Louisville versus USC. I don't think Caleb Williams is playing, so I'll take Louisville to win that game. USC kind of stunk this year. Texas A&M versus Oklahoma State. I think I'll take Texas A&M in an upset. Rutgers versus Miami. I'll take Miami. NC State versus Kansas State. I'll take NC State. Arizona versus Oklahoma. I'll take Oklahoma. No Dylan Gabriel. I don't know. I'll take Oklahoma just for the hell of it. Oregon State versus Notre Dame. I think you know who I'm picking here. I don't even know who's going to play quarterback, but I'm taking Notre Dame. The hell with it. Why not? Missouri versus Ohio State. That should be a really, really good game. Let's be real here. Most of these bowl games are just for fun. Half the quarterbacks that played all season aren't even going to play. So I'll take Ohio State, even though there's not going to be any Kyle McCord. I don't know who their backup is, but we're going to find out who. Mississippi versus Penn State. I got Penn State winning that one against Ole Miss in a close one. Auburn versus Maryland. I'll take Auburn. Georgia versus Florida State. There's been a lot of rumors that Georgia's like trying to, I don't know, leave the ACC or some shit, because they're so upset about not being in the Final Four. I don't blame them, man. They went undefeated, ACC championship. They lose their quarterback, and they get penalized for it. That's nonsense to me. I'm taking Georgia to win the game. I still think they're better than probably two of the teams in the Final Four. So I think Georgia wins this game. Wisconsin-LSU. I got LSU. Liberty, Oregon. I got Oregon. Iowa, Tennessee. Iowa can't score. I'll take Tennessee. And finally, let's get to the big games. The Rose Bowl game, Alabama versus Michigan on New Year's Day. It's going to be a fun one. Probably the top game of the day. Sorry, Nicole. I got Alabama winning this game. I got a lot of Michigan fan friends. I hate Michigan. But don't worry, Michigan fans. I'm not being biased because I hate Alabama too. I just think that Alabama, since they got in by the skin of their teeth, is now going to go all the way and win the damn thing. Just because that's Alabama, man. Nick Saban, he's big in these moments, and I don't think, I can't see him losing. I think it'll be a great game. I think it'll be a close game. Could be high scoring. I will say 38-35 Alabama wins. And nightcap, we got Texas number 3 versus Washington number 2. It's going to be a big one. People have been doubting Washington all year. Michael Penix Jr. has proved them all wrong week after week. Was in the Heisman race, and I think Washington pulls it out. And I think it'll be Alabama versus Washington, and I'll leave it at that because I'm probably going to have a show before that game gets played. So I'll leave my prediction for them. We're going to switch gears here quickly. I don't want to take up all of your Friday afternoon. By the way, it's great to be off of work, man. 5 days off, it's going to be great. That's why I've been able to do this show this morning, this afternoon, instead of later at night when I got off of work. Just want to give you a quick update on the Blackhawks. They're not good. Connor Bedard is proving to be a special player. He's not been scoring a ton of goals lately, but he's assisting on a lot of them. And the Blackhawks just recently beat the Colorado Avalanche. They've been riddled with injuries. They're dealing with a lot of stuff this year, and you know they still come out and play hard, make a game out of it. They don't have a great defense. They don't have the best goaltending. They don't score a ton of goals, but the Blackhawks are fighting hard, and I believe they play tonight. Yes, they do. They play Montreal tonight. And looking at their record, they're last in the entire NHL. Nope, San Jose is last, tied for last with the Hawks. The Hawks are 10-20-1. So it's not been pretty. It's not going to be pretty for the rest of the year. Just enjoy watching the kids, see how they progress, and hopefully you get a couple of fun wins along the way. That's really all I got for the Blackhawks this week. Before I get into any wrestling, which I'm not going to take up a ton of your time in wrestling, I'm not fully up to date, but I want to introduce a new segment. It is called, What the Hell is Going On Here? And why don't we get it started with Vince Lombardi, shall we? Vince Lombardi says, what the hell is going on out here? I got a few of them. Jed Hoyer, what are you doing? What the hell is going on in Chicago on the north side? No free agents, $0 spent. What are we doing here, Jed? What are we doing? Figure it out, sign some free agents, make some trades. The Cubs aren't good enough to win. Say it, Vince. Say it. Second, we got the Chicago Bulls. Chicago, I don't talk basketball. I don't know a ton of basketball, but I know enough to say this. Chicago Bulls, what the hell is going on out there? 8-3 since Zach LaVine's been out. Among these trade rumors going on, I think the Bulls should let him go. Players have emerged, played better basketball without Zach LaVine. Patrick Williams has been really good. Kobe White has been really good. And Zach LaVine, while he was playing, the Bulls were awful. And Kobe White wasn't as good. Patrick Williams wasn't even existing. What the hell? What? I mean, you sign this guy to the max contract, which was always a bad idea in my opinion. I called that a mile away. I was one of the few that said they shouldn't. I don't understand. What do you? You sign the guy to the max. Now you're going to trade him, and you got a few of your young stars showing up and playing good basketball, and you're winning games. I mean, honestly, Chicago Bulls. What the hell's going on out here? You could throw in the Chicago White Sox, but we're all expecting kind of the same thing from the White Sox. We're not surprised at what the White Sox have done. Let's move on to the next one. MLB as a whole, what are we doing here? Salary cap. We need a salary cap now, not later, now. The Dodgers have taken full control of no salary cap. They've spent over $1 billion in just 3 weeks, and now the MLB has no chance. They're ruining the game. They're going to make it less fun for people to watch. The Dodgers are going to win 125 games, go all the way to the World Series, and win. Unless they don't. So, honestly, give me a salary cap. Figure it out. Hey, MLB. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is what the hell is going on out there. my new segment right here on Second City Sam's Hot Takes. If you got some, what the hell's going on out there? What the hell's going out there? Decisions. If you got something different, send them my way. I'd love to hear about it. At Second City Sam on X. Tweet. Moving on here. Final segment of the show. Professional wrestling. Not a ton to talk about. Haven't been totally up to date. The Royal Rumble is shaping up to be quite a show. They haven't announced any matches yet, but I love what they're doing, setting the seeds for this CM Punk and Seth Rollins feud. I think it's going to main event WrestleMania Night 1. I think CM Punk wins the Royal Rumble as of now. Obviously, it's very early. Still a month to go. Well, actually, not even a full month to go. We're in the thick of it now, boys and girls. Let's see. What else we got here? I didn't watch the full episode of Dynamite, so I got to listen to Josh's podcast and hear his What the Hell is Wrong with AEW segment. But new tag team champions on the women's division, Caden Carter and Katana Chance, defeated Chelsea Green and Piper Niven. That was a cool match. I think that is long overdue because Katana Chance and Caden Carter are an actual tag team, and you don't really have those in the women's division. They were tag team in NXT. They won the championships there. They brought them up to the main roster, and they're still a tag team. They finally win the titles. I think it's a good thing to have an actual tag team win the titles instead of just two women thrown together as a team. That's kind of how it's been since the titles have become a thing. So hopefully this could influence WWE to create actual women's tag teams instead of just throwing women together for the hell of it to try to win these titles. I think they could do better than that. I mean, the titles have never really meant anything anyway, but that's the whole problem, honestly. You got to have your titles mean something, and right now those are the most meaningless titles in the company. So hopefully Katana Chance and Caden Carter can make those titles mean something and do some good stuff with it. Hopefully, I mean, their tag finisher is a lot of fun if they connect on it. It's kind of a little sloppy, but good nonetheless. Let's talk about, what else are we going to talk about? The Creed Brothers. Damn. Those guys are super good. I've watched them on NXT. I've watched them on the main roster, and I think they're going to be one of the top tag teams for the next 10 years in WWE. Excuse me. The Creed Brothers are really good. I think Julius Creed has a ton of potential as a single star someday. I don't know if he'll ever get there. Just for the fact that I think the Creed Brothers are going to be like a super popular tag team. So we'll see what happens. What else we got? I'm always drawing a blank on wrestling. Excuse me. Only because I watched the show on Monday and then I missed NXT on Tuesday, and so it's a four days in between shows. So I watched a little bit of Dynamite on Wednesday, but nothing really to talk about there. Roman Reigns and Randy Orton seems to be heating up. That'll be fun for the Rumble. I'm sure that's the match that's going to happen. I don't think it became official yet. I could be wrong there. The return of AJ Styles. That was really cool. AJ Styles came back. He's jacked to the gills. Gets rid of the bloodline, all that. Gets him out of the ring. And then turns on LA Knight. There you go. That could be fun. LA Knight versus AJ Styles. That should be a good little snacky cake feud right there. So that's something. That's really all I got, ladies and gentlemen. Don't want to keep you anymore. I know it's Christmas time. So as I like to say Merry Christmas. Maybe you celebrate something else, but I will say Merry Christmas to you and yours. I hope you guys enjoy your holiday. I'm having a New Year's party, so that'll be fun here at Casa de Piopo. And for those of you who listen to the live version, I'd like to thank you. You guys are awesome. The reason why I do this, and well, kind of the reason that I do this, I do it because I enjoy it. But I love having interaction on the comments. Thank you to all who commented. If you ever want to join the show, let me know, man. If you ever want to join the show, I can shoot you the link. You can come on the show, shoot the shit with me, talk whatever you want to talk about. We'll answer some questions. We'll debate all that jazz. In the meantime, follow me on X at Second City Sam, Instagram at Second City Sam, Snapchat at Second City Sam, what? YouTube at Second City Sam, what? Give me a subscription on YouTube and Spotify. As my boy Josh says, it helps expand the reach of the show. And that's it, ladies and gentlemen. Enjoy your holiday. I have been Second City Sam, and this has been Second City Sam's Hot Takes, episode number 39. You all enjoy your weekend. Have a blessed and merry Christmas.
See you around, bitch.
Screw you guys. I'm going home. But Carmen, we're trying to... screw you guys.
Bye. Have a beautiful time.
Then he waddled away. He waddled.